God bless you today. I hope this is a great day for you. I appreciate your pastor. He's been a great blessing in my life, and he'll never know all the blessings he's been. Only time and eternity will tell. I appreciate Brother Jack, Sister Cole, and their family. And I am going to preach on the eagle message today. I'll preach the eagle this morning, part two, the danger of lodging in the wilderness tonight. And I'm developing part three now, and it's called You Can't Fly with Eagles, Cluck with Chickens, and Walk with Turkeys. And you pray for us, we develop that message. So turn with us in your Bibles this morning to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 32. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 32. We're going to read one verse from here. If you'd like to put your finger in the book of Isaiah as you're looking, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 40 and read one verse after we read about 14 verses in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32, verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew. As a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that have bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in a waste howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine and milk of sheep, and the fat of lambs and the rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. Thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. I call your attention to verse number 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. Then in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, that has come to be my favorite verse in the Bible. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want to preach on the subject, the eagle, this morning. Now, my friend, the most fascinating study that I've ever done in the Word of God has been on the eagle. I don't believe any study I've ever done has entreated and enriched my life any more than the study of eagles. Now, the eagle is mentioned 32 times in the Word of God, more than any other bird in the Bible. And when God calls our attention to something that many times, it serves us well to look into it and study it out. Now, my friend, in the study of the eagles, and I've spent hundreds of hours in study of the eagles. I've got to go to the Philippine Islands and study the Philippine eagle. Got to go to Australia and study the Australian eagle. To the north and to Canada and to study the great American bald eagle. And the eagles of the south that we have here and of the west is called the golden eagles. And God has really blessed me. And the Lord willing, this year, I'm going to Africa in November, and there I'm going to get to study the black eagle in Africa. Now, I'm looking forward to this because, my friend, every eagle, no matter where they're at and what habitat they're in, I found out that all of them do the same things the same ways, no matter where they're at. You see, my friend, what the lion is to the animal kingdom, he's a king of beasts. That's what the eagle is to the bird world. He's king of all birds. He even distinguishes himself from his own family. He's a member of a group of birds called falcons that's consisted of eagles, hawks, and condors. But the eagle within his own family is different from the hawk and from the condor in many ways. This morning, I want us to look at the home of the eagle, the heart of the eagle, the heritage of the eagle, the habits of the eagle, and the honor of the eagle. I want to share some things with you about the eagle. And before I get into this message deep, I'd like to share a few facts with you about the eagle. An eagle, when he's full grown, is 7.5 feet across his back from wingtip to wingtip. Now, all of them, when they're grown, measure out the same, my friend. They're all of the same size. Now, I want you to notice this. An eagle possesses great strength. As a matter of fact, scientists of our day say ounce for ounce, made up of flesh and blood, there's nothing on the face of this earth as strong as an eagle. For the size he is, my friend, he's one of the most powerful things that God ever put together. I want to share something with you, and I'm not making any light of any race of people or anything, but I'm just telling you how strong an eagle is. A little black boy was throwing rocks at an eagle in Chicago, Illinois, who sat down on a light pole to rest for a moment, and the little boy was chunking rocks at him. You know what the eagle did? He just flew down and locked his claws in the curly hair of that little boy, picked him up, carried him over a 30-story building, and put him down on the next street. A policeman saw this and followed the path of the eagle. And he had to kill the eagle to keep it from doing bodily harm to that little boy, because an eagle is a born fighter. And he had to kill him. When he killed the eagle, he weighed it, and the eagle weighed 22 pounds. The little boy weighed 69 pounds that he picked up and carried him. I mean, my friend just flew down and picked him up, carried him over a 30-story building. I've seen eagles in Australia flying with nearly a half-grown kangaroo in their clutches. And that half-grown kangaroo's spinal column is just a little smaller than mine and yours. And in flight, that eagle will break the backbone of that kangaroo, my friend, and then he'll put him down. He's killed him in flight, and the others will join him. They'll eat him. And by the way, my friend, an eagle never wastes anything. He's a meat eater from the day he's born to the day he dies. And he never wastes anything. When he kills an animal, he eats every bit of that meat. And he uses that hide in his nest. I'm afraid we as a people of God are wasteful of a lot of things that God has given us. But the Bible compares the child of God to an eagle. And it says that you and I can mount up with wings as eagles. I want you to know that, my friend, this morning. Now, my friend, an eagle also can fly on a straight-out course at 137 miles an hour. They've been clocked on a downward sweep at moving better than 180 miles an hour. And even at the high rate of speed he's moving at, he can throw his wings out and stop right in the middle of the air. He's got such power he possesses, my friend, there's nothing on the face of this earth, ounce for ounce, made of flesh and bone, as strong as an eagle is. God put that special power within him for a reason. And God calls our attention to the eagle this morning. Now, my friend, first of all, I want to tell you about the home of the eagle. That eagle will make his home in the highest crags of the mountains and in the highest clefts of the rocks. In the highest point he can possibly find, there he'll build his nest. My friend, he wants to live above the pollution of this world. He wants to be as close to God as he can possibly get. All we as the people of God ought to want to be as close to him as the eagle does, my friend. We ought to want to live above the problems and perplexities of this life. And my friend, that mother and dad will prepare that eagle's nest very carefully. They'll go out, and I've viewed hundreds and hundreds of eagle's nests. I've never seen any two that was built differently, had different kinds of hides in them. And down here in the south, in the north part of our state, and out in the west, you'll always find them made up of the lining of the nest will be lined with rabbit, with squirrel, and with groundhogs. Now, my friend, out in the Philippine Islands, they use monkeys. And in the Australian country of Australia, they use kangaroos. And my friend, whatever that eagle can find, he makes it and puts it in that nest to fur-line that nest for that baby to be born. You see, the time's come for her to lay those eggs, and they go out, and they'll gather large limbs, and they'll build the buck of that nest. The male and the female build their nest together. I want to share something else with you about that in just a moment. And then they'll go out, and they'll gather smaller twigs and limbs, and they'll line the inside of that nest and pack it with mud. They make that thing tight to take care of that baby, but that nest is made to be destroyed, my friend. It's not made to be permanent. And then they go out and they'll gather, my friend, they'll kill animals and they'll get their hides and they fur line that nest so that that baby can be born in as soft a place as possible. Now, my friend, the day comes for that little fella to be born. And he's born just like more Baptist is than anything else. He's more mouth than he is anything else. He's got that mouth wide open, and he's hungry. He's born hungry, and he begins to scream and holler. Now, my friend, I told you that, listen, I want to share this with you. Did you know in all the bird world that the eagle is the only bird that the mama and the daddy eagle raise their little ones together? In all the rest of the bird world, either the mama or the daddy will raise the babies. But my friend, the eagle's got a different kind of heart. They've got a heart full of love. And they together raise their little ones in the nurture and in the mission of the Lord. And I believe we as a people of God have a responsibility. And I believe we ought to love one another. And if we would, we'd hear the cry of newborn babes in our churches instead of arguing and fussing like a lot of places I go to. If God's people would love one another and live together in unity and harmony, we'd see more off people being saved. And my friend, that little eagle, he's born, he's got that little mouth open, he's hungry. One of them, either the male or female, will always stay with him and the other and go kill fresh meat. By the way, an eagle never eats anything that's rotten or polluted. It wants fresh meat. And I'm convinced that the people in our churches would eat fresh meat from heaven instead of feeding on the filth and rot of this world. We'd have stronger Christians for the honor and glory of God. Now, my friend, listen. They go out and they'll kill fresh meat, they bring it back, and by the way, did you know which one gets that meat, the mama or the daddy? They always chew it up real good before they put it in that baby's mouth. Years ago, before we had all this stuff we got today, mamas used to chew the baby's food up before they put it in their mouth. Some of you say that's nasty, and all that's love. Amen. That's love. They didn't want that little fellow to get a hold of something that would choke him. And listen, that eagle would chew that food up real fine. And then it puts it in that baby's mouth. It'd do you and I some good to chew some things over before we gave them out to everybody else. Amen. And listen, my friend, they'll feed that baby and he begins to grow. I mean, listen, that little fellow begins to grow very fast. At 12 weeks old, he's one of the most beautiful things you've ever seen. He's just beautiful to look at. But I got to share this with you. I missed this. During the period of incubation, did you know that female will sit on those eggs and she'll reach out and she'll join talons or her feet, my friend, to that daddy eagle, and they'll sit there and lock their feet together like that, and he'll rub up against her and he'll kiss on her and he'll love on her, and then she'll crawl off the eggs and he'll get on them. He sits on the eggs and he sticks his feet out to her, and they join their feet together and he kisses on her and he loves on her, dear, and she loves on him the same way. Oh, listen, if we as God's people would fall in love with Jesus and love one another like we ought to, we'd see things happen in the house of God. Some of you look at me like a horse looking at a new gate. Ain't my fault if you ain't puckered in a long time. Amen? That's your fault. Amen? But they love on one another and take care of each other is what I'm saying. And that little baby's born, he begins to grow. And listen, my friend, a storm comes up, the thunder begins to roll, the lightning begins to crash, and that little eagle gets scared and he starts hollering. All of a sudden, his mom and daddy, and by the way, they stay right near that nest. They run over and they throw their wings out in front of them like this, and they form a canopy over that baby's head. They protect him from the storm. And they're there, and he's not afraid anymore as long as mom and daddy's there. How many times has God in heaven fed you and I when we couldn't feed ourselves? How many times has he protected us when we couldn't protect ourselves? How many times has he loved us when we were unlovable? When the storms came, he was there to protect us from the storm. Now listen, my friend, that little eagle begins to grow, and the first thing you know, there's more eagle than there is nest. I mean, listen, he's getting pretty big now, and you know what? He knows that it's time for something to happen in his life. One day, he decides to get out of that nest and walk out on the rock. He crawls out of that nest, Brother Jack, and he walks out on that rock. Now, while he's out there on the rock, his mama's been watching him for a few days. And when he's on that rock, she runs over there to that nest. She begins to pick every bit of that fur out, my friend. She's getting everything out of that nest. It's soft. And she throws it over that cliff below. Now, he gets to wanting the comfort of that nest. He goes back over there and he plops down in that thing. And where it was fur lined before, now them little old twigs is sticking up. And they're sticking all in him. And he sits there and he wiggles around. And he's uncomfortable. And my friend, that's the way it is when God begins to stir your nest. It's an uncomfortable place to be. He looks over at his mom and daddy real strange, as if saying it ain't like it used to be. He'll climb out of that nest. He finally gets enough of it. He walks out on that rock. This time his mom and daddy goes over there, and my friend, they pick every one of those little twigs. They pick every bit of that mud out, and they throw it over the side. There's nothing left now but that old bulky outline of that nest. That little eagle comes back. He plops down in that nest. It's up above his head. And he's looking around like in this, it ain't like it used to be. And he's uncomfortable. My friend, when God begins to stir you, get you ready for service, it'll never be like it used to be again when God stirs that nest up. That little baby finally crawls out of that nest. He walks back out on the rock. And please get this. His mama goes and she completely destroys that nest this time. She tears that thing all to pieces and throws it over the cliff. Now, my friend, I told you, listen. The birthplace of that eagle is never permanent, but his birth is. Glory to God, I got saved in September of 1956 at Happy Valley Baptist Church in Noonan, Georgia. Listen, they may tear that old church down one of these days and build a new one. It matters not, because my birth is permanent in the family of God. And that's what the emphasis is upon. Don't matter if they destroy the place you got saved. It's what happened there. It counts for. Then listen, my friend. That little eagle, listen, he's out there. He gets out of that thing. He wanders out there on the rock. And he's in for a long, cold, hard night. Any of you fellas ever went deer hunting and try sitting on a rock? I mean, at night, especially, or early in the morning, that thing's cold. And listen, he sits on that old cold rock all night long. He sits there and he shakes and shivers all night long. I've seen Baptists sit in church and do that. They just sit there and shake and sit there and look through a phone book just as uncomfortable as they could be. You can be on the rock, my friend, and still be uncomfortable if you're not in the will of God. Amen. There's a lot of people saved there in the church. They come to the house of God regularly, but they're uncomfortable because they're not in the center of God's will for their life. Now listen, that little fella sits there all night long. He shook and he shivered. He's sitting there, and the next morning, his mama wanders over to him. She looks at him real good and looks him over, and she walks up and she does her head like this. As if say, come on, climb on. That little eagle climbs up on his mama's back. He feels them warm feathers. He goes, woo! Mama, you're warm. Oh, you feel better than that cold rock. Mama, you feel good. And he settles down on his mama. She looks back and says, boy, you better hold on. And she jumps out off of that cliff with that little eagle on her back. And he digs him little claws down in the feathers. And he's sitting up there and he's riding and everything's going well, Brother Jack. But something inside of him, just like a curious kid sometimes, says, why don't you look down? He leans up over his mama's wing, looks down and he goes, oh! Boy, he does dig in now. He sees 3,000 or 4,000 feet between him and the ground. He says, oh, God, if she drops me up here, I'll bust my brains out down there. And he digs in them little old claws. All of a sudden, his mama turns her nose straight up. I mean, just like a rocket. He's hanging on her back, and he's hollering, mama, I can't hold on. About that time, she just flips over on her back, upside down. And that little eagle's hanging like this. He said, mama, I can't hold on. And finally, my friend, he has to turn loose. Now, you talk about a bundle of nerves. His heart is in his throat now. He's tumbling end over end in the middle of that air. And listen, my friend, he's falling fast. But what that little eagle does not know is that his mama can fly faster than he can fall. Great was the day in my life when I realized I had a God in heaven that could move faster than I could fall in any situation of my life. Just before he hits the ground, that mama flies up under him, Brother Jack, and he lands safely on her back. Now, honey, you just thought he dug in before. He brings blood now. He digs in, he looks at her and says, back to the rock, mama. Get me back to that rock, please. She flies back up to that rock. And listen, she sits down on that rock. That little eagle crawls off his mama's back. I've seen this many times, and they'll do it every time. He does this on that rock. He says, God bless you, rock. Hallelujah to the rock. Honey, you don't know how to appreciate the rock. You don't know how to appreciate the church until you get out there in a cold, dark world by yourself, my friend. Amen. You remember that first time you stood and tried to teach a Sunday school class or sing or preach? You were scared to death. You was petrified. But you didn't know right then that you had a God in heaven was going to move faster than you could fall. Amen. Now listen, my friend, he sits up on that rock. He don't complain about nothing tonight. He's just glad to be on the rock. He sits there all night long. He'll shake, but he wouldn't complain for nothing. My friend, his mama moves over next to him the next morning. She looks at him again and says, climb on. He says, you think I'm crazy? I remember what you done to me yesterday. But he knows to obey his mama, and she does like this. He climbs up on her back again. He knows to obey mama. And listen, she jumps off of that cliff again, and he sees her going. He said, oh, no, here we go again. She turns that nose up. She flips over on her back, and he's screaming and hollering, and my friend, he has to turn loose again. I don't know why, but always on the second time. Instead of flying under him right quick, that mama eagle on the second time is above him. And she's screaming with everything in her as if to say, come on, put them wings out and try it. You was born to fly. You're an eagle. You're not a chicken. You're not a turkey. Put them wings out and fly, boy. Just before he hits the ground, she scoots up on him and catches him again. Day after day, she'll carry that little eagle out until one day, my friend, finally, she takes him out. She makes that nose turn to the sky. She flips on her back, and he's turning over and over. He's turning up. But he looks up, and he sees mama with her wings out on the wind. By the way, my friend, an eagle only flies 10% of the time. They glide 90% of the time. You know why? They've learned to yield to the wind and let it carry them. When you and I learn to yield to the Holy Ghost of God, it don't take so much human effort. It'll carry us, my friend, and get the job done.
Yes.
Listen, he looks up and he sees mama. He looks over here and he says, well, it's one over here. Nothing over there. He said, maybe that's what mama's been wanting. I'll try him out. He begins to flop them. All of a sudden, he says, hey, I'm not falling anymore. All this feels so good. And a big gust of wind comes and hits him in the face, Brother Jack. And he just throws them little wings out. And he realizes that wind just carries him higher and helps him see further down the valley. Oh, isn't it wonderful when you yield to the Holy Ghost of God and just let it carry you higher and help you see farther down the valley in front of you. Listen, my friend. He's finally put forth an effort. If you could see the celebration in the air above him. His mama and daddy have got their feet together again. They've got their wings out like this. And it looks like a great canopy. And they're just rejoicing. Because that baby's finally put forth an effort. And learned how to fly. Oh, I believe when you finally yield to the Holy Ghost of God, you finally yield yourself to the service of God, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ rejoices. And he said, there's one of my little ones. Put forth that effort. They could do it if they'd just try. Listen, my friend. All the days of that eagle's life, and by the way, he lives to be from 60 to 100 years old. I visited one week before last, and I'm going to see him again week after next. That's 128 years old. He's 127 the first time I saw him. And I'm going to share something with you about him in just a minute. But my friend, all the days of that eagle's young life, in his older life, his older age, he's strong and he's powerful. But my friend, during the middle years of his life, he goes through a stage of depression. And it's called the moping period. Now please listen. Tonight, I'm going to be preaching on that moping period. I'm not through with this message yet, but I want you to remember tonight, if you know of any Christians that's discouraged and down, about ready to throw in the towel, you get them here tonight. I'm going to preach on the danger of lodging in the wilderness and that depression stage that eagle goes through and how he finally gets out of it. But listen, my friend, that eagle has some unique habits. He's rising above the storm. You will never find a strong eagle in a storm. He's not down there where the rain and the thunder and the lightning is. You know where he's at? He's above the clouds looking down on it. My friend, he's learned to yield to the Holy Ghost. He's learned to yield to that wind and let it carry him above the clouds and the storms. And when you and I, as people of God, yield to it, we'll see that there's a lot of our problems, a lot of our storms we wouldn't have had to go through if we had just yielded to the Holy Ghost of God in our lives. Now listen, my friend. He has another unique habit of keeping himself positioned
between his enemy and the sun. That eagle will never let any kind of enemy bird or enemy of any kind get between him and the sun. And I'm here to tell you, if you ever let anything come between you and the Son of God, you're in trouble. You see, my friend, God put something special inside that eagle. He's got a set of built-in sunglasses. Please listen to this. He's got a set of green tinted lenses that rolls in from the side, Brother Billy. And it tints his eyes, and he can stand the heat and the rays of the sun. He's got microscopic eye lens. His eyesight is so much more keener than mine and yours, it's not even funny. But my friend, he can roll those tinted lenses. When the enemy comes after him, he just looks straight into the sun, soars straight into it, and the enemy comes so far, but he cannot stand the light and the rays of the sun, and the enemy has to go back. I'm glad when the devil comes on the scene, you and I can mount up with wings and fly to the Son of God. And the devil had to turn and go back because he cannot stand the light and the rays of the sun. I'm glad we can mount up with wings as eagles. That bird always has integrity. He knows who he is. He knows what he is. He knows where he's going all the time. That's why he sits with his head up all the time. He's born to fly. He's born for the sky. And as David said, I'll lift up to the hill. Mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. That's what that eagle does. By the way, I've got to give you this, or we're going to wait to share this tonight. But he's born on a rock or near a rock. By the way, that eagle never changes rocks. From the day he's born to the day he dies, he stays with the same rock. I'm glad we ain't got to change rocks, folks. We've got the rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's everything we need. Matter of fact, when that eagle, that strong eagle, when it comes time to die, you know what he does? He just flies over Brother Jack to his rock, and he sits down on it and leans up. And he'll just close his eyes, and he rests in the rock. Oh, listen, my friend. During the middle years of that eagle's life, something happens. Please get this part of the message. He quits utilizing that power within him. He quits flying. And my friend, instead of flying where what he was intended to and living in the stars and the sky, he comes down to earth. He'll sit down against that rock and he'll grind his beak against that rock and get rid of everything that's hindering him from breathing properly. He gets rid of every bit of that calcium on that rock. My friend, he beats his beak against that rock and breaks that little cartilage that's grown under. It's got a curved beak that hinders him from opening his mouth properly. He breaks that off. Finally, he gets his feathers back in place as much as he can. And he jumps off of that rock. He realizes he can fly with a little speed, not much. But he turns and he flies into that rock. And he breaks every one of them nubs off of his feet so that those claws will grow out strong and powerful again. Something else I'm dying to tell you now, but I'm going to have to wait and tell you tonight. But my friend, he sits on that rock and he looks up. And he finds strength and power from an upward look. You see, he finally made his mind up. He's going to get up, and he did. And God gave him the faith he needed. God supplied the grace in him. And he jumps off of that cliff, and he flies. I want to share something with you. I wish all Christians were like eagles in this way. An eagle only goes through that one time in his life. He don't go back to it again. He realized that depression like to kill him. He learned his lesson the first time, and he'll never get back in that shape again. And my friend, he's sitting there with honor. And he knows what he was intended for. And he flies with power. He was in the wilderness. He was down. But he got up. He'll never got up if he hadn't put forth an effort. My friend, you'll never get out of depression. You'll never get out of defeat and discouragement until you want to get up and put forth an effort. And God will honor you and bless that effort and help you make it the rest of the way. Some people sit around and gripe and complain about their problems. The problem ain't going to go away until you want to do something about it. Amen? But listen, I want to share this in closing out. I told you that eagle lived to be from 60 to 100 years old. In his old age, Day after he gets out of that depression, he gets stronger every day. He gets more and more beautiful. Matter of fact, my friend, he's quicker now than he's ever been. He's more beautiful than he's ever been. He's had experience, see. He's learned from his experience. And he's quicker. He's smarter. He's better. When I went to that eagle farm and that fellow took me out there and showed me that eagle, 127 years old at that time, he's 128 now, still living. Oldest living eagle in captivity. He took him out there and he showed him to me. And I stand there looking at him, and I put on steel mesh gloves. You don't understand why. The power's got in his feet. He can take the back of your hand and crush every bone across the back of your hand with one move like that. That's the kind of power he possesses in his feet. He's the only birds like it. But my friend, I put those steel mesh gloves on, and I reached in there, and I got him. And I brought him out. I handled him, and I looked at him. He had that head up proud. He'd jump out and lunge with everything in him. That fellow said, "Don't let him go, preacher." Said, "If you do, we'll never catch him." He said, "Preacher," I said, "look at his eyes." I looked at that old eagle's eyes. He said, "What do you see?" I said, "I see a wild, faraway look." He said, "Preacher, you see a longing to be free." I said, "Every eagle is born with a longing to be free. He wears no man's chains, no man's talons. He will not be caged up. He'll wear no man's leather straps without a fight. He knows he's born to be free. He's got a longing inside of him." In January of this year, my daddy laid in the hospital for 8 weeks. A lot of you here got to hear my dad preach when he was here. I went in there and I saw him suffer. His heart stopped 5 times. They'd keep bringing him back around. I walked in there. I was going to Nashville, Tennessee for a revival. Brother Jack, this was just before his brain quit functioning, before he died. I'm a preacher going down here. I went down there. He sent all the rest of them out of the room. I looked at his eyes, and I saw the same look that I saw in those eagle's eyes. He looked up at me, Brother Jack. He said, "Son, it's getting flying time." He said, "Son, I want to go home." I said, "Daddy, we ain't nothing through my heart no more for us to take you home." He said, "No." I said, "I want to go home." He said, "I've run my race. I finished my course. I've done what God wanted me to do." He said, "Let me kiss you." He kissed me, and I didn't know I was kissing him for the last time. He said, "Son, just keep home preaching." He said, "You get on to Nashville now." I said, "I probably won't be here when you get back." I said, "But you know Daddy's ready." I said, "Son, go preach and help get somebody else ready." I walked out of that room, and I looked back at him one more time, Brother Jack. And he was in there like this. Had that same look that eagle had in his eyes. He's getting ready to take a flight. My friend, there was a farmer called an eagle. They took him out of the chicken pen, put him in with the chickens. They was walking around, they was pecking corn. That eagle watched him. He didn't know what they was doing. He was a meat eater. They was over there scratching, digging for worms. He was watching them. He didn't know what they was doing. He was disoriented. He went inside and he crawled up on the roost and locked his little feet around it. Sat there. Day after day, the farmer come in trying to feed him meal and seed and things. The little eagle just sat there with his head down. Looked like he was going to die. He wouldn't eat nothing. He just sat there with his little head down. One day the farmer went out there to feed the chickens, and he heard a scream like he'd never heard before, a call. He looked up, and there was two eagles encircling the top of that chicken coop. They gave another scream. When they did, that little eagle was sitting in there with his feet locked around, perked up. He jumped down and he ran out in the yard and he looked up. He saw those eagles flying around. He jumped with everything in him, hit the top of the coop and come back down. He jumped again and hit the top of the coop and come back down. It was tearing the farmer's heart out. He walked over and he opened the gate. He said, "Come on out of there, little eagle. You're not a chicken. You're the people."
that you wasn't born for this world. You was born for the stars and for the heavens.
And Little Eagle ran out in the yard, outside the gate, and looked up, and he jumped, and he caught a gust of wind. And he went up to be with those other two. And they flew away. No farmer was standing there saying, "Fly away, Little Eagle! Fly away! You were designed for the stars and for the sky! You're not a chicken! You're an eagle! And my friend, one day, we're going to hear a call from another world! And Jesus is going to come! And we're not going to take no airplane flight out of here! We're going to take a plane air flight out of here! We're going to mount out with wings as eagles! And God will be with the Lord, my friend!" I'm here to tell you on the authority of this book, you don't have to be a chicken. You don't have to be afraid. Amen? You can mount up with wings as eagles. Lost person, you're here today. I really feel sorry for you. You have no help in this world whatsoever. Think about it. I don't see how lost people make it. Do you? See, when we have problems, we can carry them to the Lord. And we can mount up with eagles and do some flying while we're here. Amen? When we get depressed or distressed, we can just fall on our knees and look to the rock. Amen? We can come to the rock and get rid of everything that hinders us. On the rock. If you're here this morning not saved, my friend, you need to get saved. And I want to say this morning. It's Father's Day. A little eagle's daddy always flies when his mama's taking him out flying. He's always above him for protection. He's there all the time, and I thank God for fathers. I thank God for mine. But folks, I thank God for my Heavenly Father today. When nobody else understands, I'm glad I can go to Him. Every head bowed and every eye closed. For just a moment.